Muslim Brotherhood calls for pro-Morsi rallies across Egypt. Iran's foreign minister and Egypt's interim vice president discuss latest developments in Egypt. Iran says arming militants in Syria has negative effect on Geneva talks. Syrian army retakes control of Damascus neighborhood. And fresh anti-government protests erupt at Istanbul's Taksim Square. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Iran and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood called for mass protests in support of ousted President Mohamed Morsi across the North African country. Assam al-Arian, vice chairman of the Brotherhood's Freedom and Justice Party, called for mass nationwide rallies on Monday. Meanwhile, the Office of Egypt's Public Prosecutor said it has received complaints accusing ousted President Morsi of spying and inciting killings of protesters and damaging the country. The prosecutor's office said in statements that it was investigating the complaints and preparing a file against Morsi and other senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. Meantime, thousands of angry protesters have promised to stay in the streets as long as it takes to force the reinstatement of Morsi. The violence has left over 130 people dead and many more injured.
And we would like to reaffirm that the upper house of parliament does not recognize anything to do with this coup. We also believe that anything that results from this coup is illegal and does not conform to the law or international regulations.
We need to continue the 25th of January revolution because it is completely clear that the security services are standing against the popular will, and there was a large sector that was benefiting from the presence of Hosni Mubarak. We call on this sector to dissociate themselves from this coup and from those who carried out the coup and to return to the ranks of the people in order to build a democratic state in which all citizens would have equal rights and responsibilities. We will continue to intensify using all peaceful means in order to end the military coup, no matter how long it takes.
This is not about President Morsi being released. This is not even about his personal safety. This is about protecting the democratic choice of the Egyptian people and the ballot box choice that they have gone and stood for hours in the sun for over five times across the past 2 years. This is about protecting the will of the people and not allowing the military to take on a political role and not sanctioning a military coup while the U.S. is afraid to use the C word still.
Meantime, Iran's foreign minister and interim Egyptian vice president, Mohammed al-Baradei, exchanged views on the latest developments in Egypt. In a telephone conversation, Ali Akbar Saleh said Egypt's fate is only determined according to the will of its own people. Saleh said the Egyptian people's decision regarding the country's political future will be respected by all. He called on all political groups and the elite in Egypt to work within the framework of the national political process toward promoting the goals of the Egyptians based on unity among people from all walks of life. For his part, al-Baradei highlighted Iran's important position and called for the best of relations with Tehran. He also urged the continuation of consultations between Egypt and Iran on key regional issues. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs says Western attempts to arm the militants in Syria are detrimental to the planned Geneva conference in Syria. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said the West's efforts to dispatch weapons to Syria will not be a good prelude to the International Geneva Conference. He also said Syria is moving on the path of reforms and fighting terrorism. Amir Abdullahian added a national dialogue, ending the violence, and refraining from dispatching weapons and militants to Syria will guarantee the success of the International Geneva meeting. Iran has repeatedly expressed its opposition to any foreign interference in Syria's internal affairs, stressing that dialogue, national reconciliation, and free elections are the keys to resolving the unrest in the country. Syrian army forces have taken control of the Al-Kabun neighborhood of the capital Damascus and cleared the area of foreign-backed militants. An unspecific number of militants were killed in the mop-up operation in the area. Syrian army units also have gained more ground in Damascus suburbs by advancing further in Deir al-Salman and eastern al-Qata. Deadly fighting has also been reported near the Damascus Homs Road as government forces pushed with the mop-up operation. Meanwhile, foreign-backed militants clashed with an al-Qaeda-linked group in the northern city of Aleppo. The fighting took place as militants of al-Qaeda offshoot engaged with members of the so-called Free Syrian Army. The battle erupted over the control of a key checkpoint earlier used by al-Qaeda militants to lay a siege on Bustan al-Ghaz district. The al-Qaeda militants seized the checkpoint last week and closed it for several days, preventing supplies from entering the city. The blockade angered local people and sparked demonstrations against armed rebels. Similar clashes also occurred between the two groups near Bab al-Hawa crossing on the Turkish border. At least 13 people were killed and 43 others wounded in separate bombings and shootings across Iraq on Saturday. In the eastern province of Da'ala, two people were killed and nine wounded, including three children, when a roadside bomb went off near a house in the town of Maqdadiya. On a separate incident, two fighters of the government-backed Sahwa paramilitary group were wounded when a roadside bomb hit their vehicle near the town of Hip-Hip. In the northern city of Kirkuk, gunmen shot dead a soldier and wounded another in the southwestern region of the city. In Mosul, gunmen stormed the house of a traffic police officer and shot him dead in Al-Shafa neighborhood. Iran's border police seized more than 2.5 tons of illicit drugs in operations along the country's borders in the southeastern Sistan and Balochistan province. Iranian officials said police forces seized the drugs from several traffickers who intended to smuggle the narcotics into Iran through the country's border crossings. Last week, Iran's drug combat squad seized more than 1.7 tons of illicit drugs in an operation in the central province of Yazd. Iran is located at the crossroad of the international drug smuggling route from Afghanistan, the world's top opium producer, to Europe. Saudi-backed Bahraini regime forces have shot and severely wounded a teenage demonstrator during a protest rally. The shooting took place during a peaceful protest on Saturday in Karaz Khan village, which lies along the western coast of the Persian Gulf island. The demonstrators demanded the release of all political prisoners and demanded that King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa steps down from power. Since mid-February 2011, thousands of pro-democracy protesters have staged numerous demonstrations in the streets of Bahrain, calling for the Al Khalifa family to relinquish power. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Muslim Brotherhood calls for pro-mercy rallies across Egypt. Iran's foreign minister and Egypt's interim vice president discuss latest developments in Egypt. Iran points out that arming militants in Syria has negative effect on Geneva talks. Syrian army retakes control of Damascus neighborhood. And fresh anti-government protests erupt at Istanbul's Taksim Square. Turkish police used water cannon and tear gas on Saturday to disperse hundreds of protesters who gathered to march toward Gezi Park. Protesters scattered, running into side streets where police pursued them before starting to regroup on Istiklal Street, meters from the main Taksim Square. The demonstrators also clashed with shopkeepers disgruntled by weeks of bad business due to weeks of demonstrations. Saturday's demonstrations were triggered by discontent over a government-sponsored bill, which stripped an Architects and Engineers Association involved in the protests, the TMMOB, of its final approval authority on urban planning projects. The bill, passed to become law by Parliament this week, seen by the TMMOB and opposition party members as part of a government vendetta. The U.S. whistleblower Edward Snowden plans to seek asylum in Russia. Russian Duma member Vyacheslav Nikonov told reporters of Snowden's intention after he and a dozen other prominent officials and activists met with the U.S. whistleblower in the transit zone of Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport, where Snowden has been marooned since June 23. Snowden is believed to have been stuck in the airport's transit zone since arriving from Hong Kong on June 23, as he negotiates for asylum in another country.
He already asked for political asylum in Russia, and the response was positive on one condition, that he stops to hurt the interests of our American partners, as Putin put it. So the ball is on his side of the field. The message is to protect his rights. Most of the Russian people would agree with that. Definitely my electorate does not regard Mr. Snowden as a criminal. He did nothing wrong to Russia.
Bolivia's president Evo Morales has accused U.S. intelligence of hacking into the email accounts of top Bolivian officials, saying he had shot down his own account. Latin American leaders have lashed out at Washington over recent revelations of vast surveillance programs, some of which allegedly targeted regional allies and adversaries alike. Morales said he learned about the alleged U.S. email snooping at the Mercosur Regional Summit in Montevideo earlier this week. Meantime, Argentine Foreign Minister Hector Timmermans said more than 100 of his country's officials were under electronic surveillance from a nation that he did not name. Now, 18 people were killed and 25 injured when a truck crashed into a bus in a Moscow suburb. Moscow deputy mayor said rescuers were working in terrible conditions as the gravel from the truck poured into the bus during the crash, limiting access to the dead and injured. Rescuers had to extract the dead and the injured under very bad conditions, under the piles of gravel. Death rates from Russia's road accidents are higher than most Western countries.
The Kamaz truck smashed, there's no other way of putting it, into the bus that was following its route. It flipped over and all the 12 cubic meters of gravel poured into the bus. Rescuers had to extract the dead and the injured under very bad conditions from under the piles of gravel.
At least 7 peacekeepers of the UN African Union mission in Darfur were killed and 17 others injured in an attack by an unidentified group on their patrol in Sudan's South Darfur state. The incident took place in Khor Abshai area as the two sides exchanged fire for about an hour. The UN African Union mission in Darfur is currently making a preliminary evaluation for the situation to determine the reasons and motives behind the incident. Around 24,000 soldiers of UN African Union mission in Darfur are shouldering the task of peacekeeping in the region, which has been suffering from a civil war since 2003. Since its deployment in early 2008, the mission has lost more than 40 of its personnel in attacks by unidentified gunmen in the region. And finally, Typhoon Sulik battered Taiwan with torrential rain and powerful winds that left 2 people dead, at least, and more than 104 injured. Roofs were ripped off from homes as debris and fallen trees littered the streets, and some areas were submerged by floodwaters. Around 8,000 people were evacuated from their homes before the typhoon struck, with hundreds of soldiers deployed to high-risk areas, and the whole island was declared an alert zone by the authorities. Meanwhile, in China, the National Meteorological Center maintained a yellow alert for rainstorm in eastern areas as Typhoon Sulik is approaching. The Chinese officials said heavy downpours brought by Typhoon Sulik is expected to affect parts of the mainland's Fujian, Zhejiang, and Jiangxi provinces. Officials warned of possible natural disasters, including floods and mudslides, and urge authorities in the affected areas to take precautionary measures. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.